Imagine this scenario for a second. You're fighting, really fighting, to get public information from the government. You go through the courts, you appeal, and finally you win. You get the records.
Huge relief, Brad.
Totally.
All right.
But then you realize you have to fight again. This time, just to get your legal fees paid back. It feels almost wrong, doesn't it?
It really does, that extra hurdle after you've already proven your case.
So that whole complex dance around legal costs and, government accountability, that's exactly the legal battle we're digging into today. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take these complicated cases and try to distill them down, find the key insights that matter. I'm your guide.
And I'm here to help connect those dots, look at the bigger picture, and explore why these rulings are so important, especially for those of you deep in the open government world.
Today, our focus is a really significant 1990 Florida case. It's Downs v. Austin, specifically 559, so 2D246, from the Florida First District Court of Appeal. Our mission is to unpack how this ruling clarified what the legislature meant when it talked about awarding attorneys' fees in public records fights under Florida law, and, crucially, what it means for citizens like you pushing for transparency.
It's a fantastic case study in statutory interpretation. It really shows the courts wrestling with, legislative intent versus just a strict literal reading of the words on the page. For open government law practitioners, this is fundamental stuff.
Okay, so let's set the scene. Who's our main player here? Ernest Charles Downs. What was he actually after, and who is he up against?
So Ernest Charles Downs, through his lawyer, was trying to get the results of a polygraph test, a lie detector test, basically, given to his co-defendant.
Okay.
He requested this under Chapter 119, which is Florida's Public Records Act. The request went to the state attorney, Ed Austin, who denied it, said no.
Right, so a citizen asks for records, agency says no. Pretty standard start, unfortunately. What did Downs do next? How did it go in the trial court initially?
Well, Downs didn't just accept the denial. He filed what's called a petition for a writ of mandamus.
Ah, yes, the mandamus action, compelling an official action.
Exactly, asking the court to order the state attorney to produce those polygraph results. But the trial court actually dismissed his petition.
Dismissed it. On what grounds?
The trial court found that the polygraph was exempt from production under the act. So initial loss for Downs at that level.
Wow, that was been well, frustrating is probably an understatement. So he didn't win at trial. He had to appeal just to get the records.
That's right. He took it up to the First District Court of Appeal, and importantly, they reversed the trial court. They said, no, the trial court got it wrong. Issue the writ.
Okay.
So Downs did eventually win access to the records, but only after that appeal. And that previous case, the one about getting the records, that sets the critical background for the fee dispute we're really focusing on today.
So, victory on the records front. Transparency wins eventually. But like we teased earlier, that wasn't the end of the road. This is where our deep dive really gets going. What was the next fight?
Right. With the records finally in hand, Downs then went back to the trial court. This time, he filed a motion asking for attorney's fees.
Makes sense. He had to vote to get them.
Exactly. He cited Section 119.12 of the Florida statutes, the 1985 version, which specifically deals with attorney's fees in these Public Records Act cases.
Okay, can you maybe walk us through what that statute, Section 119.212, actually says? Specifically, subsections 1 and 2, because the wording here is crucial.
Absolutely. Subsection 1 basically says this. If you file a civil suit against an agency to enforce the Public Records Act and the court determines the agency unlawfully refused access.
Unlawfully refused.
Yes.
Key phrase.
Very key. Then the court shall not may, but shall assess and award reasonable costs of enforcement, and that includes attorney's fees, against the agency.
Okay. That seems pretty direct for the trial level if the refusal was unlawful. What about appeals? That's subsection 2.
Right. Subsection 2 deals with appellate fees. It says if an agency appeals a court order that requires them to disclose records and that agency loses the appeal, meaning the disclosure order is affirmed, then the court shall assess reasonable attorney's fees for the appeal against the agency.
Okay. So subsection 2 seems focused on when the agency appeals and loses.
That's how the trial court read it, yes.
So Downs points to this statute, asked for his fees. What did the trial court decide this time, and what was the logic behind it? Because based on subsection 1, it sounds like he should get something.
Well, the trial court denied Downs' motion for fees, flat out denied it. And the reasoning really hinged on a very strict interpretation.
How so?
The court emphasized that awarding attorneys' fees by statute is, quote, in derogation of common law, meaning it goes against the usual American rule where each side pays their own way.
Right. The default is no fee shifting.
Exactly. So the court said because these fee statutes are exceptions, they must be construed very strictly. Narrowly.
And how did that strict reading apply here?
They concluded that subsection 1, trial fees were only allowed if access was granted by the trial court itself. And subsection 2, appellate fees, only if the agency unsuccessfully appealed an order granting access.
So in their view?
In their view, since Downs lost at trial and only won access after his appeal, neither situation applied. No fees.
Okay, wow, that is a very narrow reading. Basically, you didn't win here, so no fees for the work done here.
Oh.
But the First District Court of Appeal, hearing the appeal on the fees, saw it very differently. What was their core argument against that strict approach?
This is where the appellate court's reasoning is so insightful. They leaned heavily on a core principle of statutory interpretation. A literal reading isn't the right reading if it leads to an unreasonable or absurd result, or, crucially, if it defeats the purpose the legislature intended.
Right. Don't let the letter of the law kill the spirit of the law.
Precisely. They cited another case, Great Outdoors Trading, Inc., basically saying you have to look beyond just the words sometimes. Look at the goal.
And what did they identify as the fundamental purpose, the goal of the Florida Public Records Act itself?
They went right back to the beginning, section 119.01 of the statutes. It clearly states the act's purpose is to promote the state policy that all state, county, and municipal records shall at all times be open for a personal inspection by any person. Full stop.
Openness is the default.
Yes. And they reinforced something critical. The act must be liberally construed in favor of open government. Not strictly, liberally. They even referenced their own prior ruling in Downs' first appeal about the records themselves. Liberal construction is key to preserving that basic freedom.
So they're saying the whole point of the law is openness,
and
you need to read it in a way that achieves that. How did they connect that idea back to the specific provision about attorney's fees, section 119.07?
They made a direct link. They said section 119.12, the fees part, isn't just some random add-on. It's part of the act. It's intended as a, quote, tool for its enforcement.
An enforcement tool. Not just compensation, but a way to make the act work.
Exactly. Therefore, they reasoned, the fee provision also needs to be liberally construed to best promote access to public records. The fees are essential to making the promise of access real, especially for ordinary citizens who can't easily afford a protracted legal fight.
Okay, now here's where it gets really practical, right?
Right.
How did the court apply this liberal construction of the enforcement tool idea to Downs' specific situation? He lost at trial, won on appeal. Did he get trial fees?
Yes, this was the key holding. The appellate court found the trial court's denial was directly contrary to the statutory language. Remember, subsection 1, it requires fees if the agency's refusal is judicially held unlawful.
Judicially held. Doesn't say which court has to hold it unlawful.
Precisely. The first DCA said it doesn't matter if the finding of unlawfulness happened at trial or on appeal. If a court ultimately determined the denial was unlawful, the condition for fees under 119.121 was met.
Mm.
They cited another important case, News and Sun Sentinel County, Palm Beach County, which basically said it's appropriate that if a citizen litigates to enforce disclosure and their right is ultimately vindicated by any court order, they should at least get their attorney's fees reimbursed for that trial level effort. It's about making the citizen whole for enforcing the law.
So, boom, the first DCA says section 119.121 does allow for trial level fees. Even if you initially lost a trial and only won access after an appeal. That's a huge clarification for anyone enforcing the Public Records Act. It means you're not penalized for having to appeal an incorrect trial court ruling.
It's a critical point for access. It removes a massive potential deterrent. But this raises another question. We talked about the trial fees. What about the fees for that first appeal, the one where Downs actually won access to the records in the first place?
That's a great point. It seems logical he should get fees for that too, right? He won the appeal. Did the court award fees for that successful first appeal?
Well, the court looked at this. They noted that subsection 2, the part about appellate fees, specifically covers when an agency loses an appeal trying to block disclosure. It's meant to discourage agencies from delaying tactics.
Right.
But, they said, that subsection doesn't necessarily prevent a plaintiff, like Downs, from getting fees if they successfully appeal a denial of access. The principle seems to allow it.
Seems to. So did he get them?
However, in this specific instance, Downs did not get fees for that first successful appeal.
Why not?
Because, procedurally, No fee request was made at that time during the first appeal, as required by the appellate rules.
A procedural footfault.
Exactly. The substantive right might have been there, but the procedural step was missed. A tough lesson in dotting the I's and crossing the T's in litigation.
Okay, so no fees for the first appeal due to procedure. Now, what about the appeal we're talking about right now? The second appeal, the one purely about getting the attorney's fees themselves.
Yeah.
Did Downs get reimbursed for the legal work involved in winning this fee fight?
No. And the court was very clear on this point. They explicitly denied fees for the legal services rendered in this appeal. The appeal focused solely on securing the statutory fees.
What was the reasoning there?
They drew a sharp line. They said Section 119.121 only allows fees for civil actions aimed at compelling inspection or copying of a public record. It does not, they stated, authorize fees for the effort spent trying to collect the fee itself.
So it stops the cycle. You get fees for enforcing the records access, not for enforcing the fee award.
That's the line they drew. It prevents potentially endless litigation just about the costs of litigation.
Okay, so after all that back and forth, what was the final outcome for Ernest Downs in this particular fee case? What did the court order?
The appellate court reversed the trial court's denial of fees. That's the big win. They then remanded the case, meaning they sent it back down to the trial court.
With instructions?
Yes, with specific instructions. The trial court was directed to determine and award a reasonable attorney's fee, but only for the legal services Downs lawyer provided during the original trial-level enforcement action, the fight in the trial court to get the records.
So just the trial-level fees from the first go-around?
Correct. All the other fee requests for the first successful appeal, missed procedure, and for this second appeal about the fees themselves were denied. A significant victory, but a carefully limited one.
Right. So reflecting on all this, what are the big takeaways from Downs v. Austin? What should someone working in open government law really absorb from this?
There are a few huge ones. First, and maybe foremost, is the reinforcement that the Florida Public Records Act must be interpreted liberally to favor openness. Not strictly. That's the default judicial approach.
It sets the whole tone. And second,
that the attorney's fees provision, Section 119.12, isn't just incidental, it's a core enforcement tool. It's there specifically to make sure agencies comply and to make it feasible for citizens to hold them accountable.
It puts teeth into the act.
Absolutely. It means that if you, as a citizen or advocate, have to sue and you ultimately win access to records, even if you have to appeal an initial bad ruling, you are entitled to reasonable fees for that trial-level fight. Your right was vindicated, and the statute helps cover the cost of that vindication.
But critically, it also clarified the limits. The statute pays for the fight to get the records, not the fight to get the fees for getting the records.
Correct. That distinction is clear. It covers the enforcement of the substantive right to access, not the subsequent collection effort for costs.
So the case really emphasizes that the law wants to encourage access, and the fee provision is a key mechanism to lower the financial barrier for citizens to enforce that fundamental right.
That's the essence of it, making the promise of open government practically achievable.
So for you listening, the big takeaway is that challenging an unlawful denial of public records, while definitely demanding, is something the law intends to support financially. At least for the core enforcement effort, it empowers you.
And maybe it leaves us with a question to think about. How does this balance work in practice today? The balance between providing fees to encourage enforcement, but limiting them to avoid endless fights over costs. Does it strike the right balance now? Or are there still practical barriers that make pursuing open government difficult, even with this ruling?
A really important question to consider. That's it for this deep dive into Downs v. Austin. Thank you for joining us on this exploration. We hope you feel a bit more informed and maybe even more curious about how these legal frameworks shape our access to information.